The opinions expressed on this webmasterradio.fm program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of webmasterradio.fm. Any rebroadcast or retransmission of this program without the express written consent of webmasterradio.fm is prohibited.
Welcome to Webcology. Webcology is the show that takes you into the deepest and darkest ends of the ecosystem on the internet. Our guides will take you on a journey into web marketing and bring you the experts and the information so that you can further explore the web marketing world. Now, here are the hosts of Webcology, Jim Hedger and Dave Davies.
Hey everyone, welcome to Webcology here on webmasterradio.fm. It is Thursday, September the 8th, 2 o'clock Eastern and 11 a.m. Pacific if you're listening live. I have no idea what time it is if you're listening on the podcast. This is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media, joined by Dave Davies from Beanstalk SEO, and we have a talkative show for you today. After last week, where we had four guests and 2 hours, and I don't know about you, Dave, but like I was wiped after that show. This week, we're just talking about news. Some fun stuff has happened around the web world this week. We have, today, Google announcing they bought the review site Zagat. Yesterday, Yahoo announcing that they ditched their CEO, Carol Bartz. We have some fun announcements from Twitter. You know, Twitter has grown to over 100 million users. That's kind of cool.
That is kind of cool.
And today, Google announced exactly how much electricity they use. I don't know.
Okay, I didn't see that one, so I'm looking forward to it.
I'm kind of a geek about stuff like that. Electricity usage, that's kind of huge. When you think about what it takes to make our technological society run. For years, Google wouldn't say how much electricity they used to run search, to run all their data centers, to turn on the lights at the Googleplex, to make really innovative products like, solar panels. Google would never come out because they thought it was a trade secret. If you figure out how much electricity was used to power the data centers, you could probably figure out, how many data centers they had. Well, it's not a secret anymore, and in today's New York Times, we find out that the company, all of its data centers, its campuses, and its workshops combined, continuously draw about 260 million watts, which is about, according to the New York Times, is about a quarter of the output of your nearest nuclear power plant. That's pretty staggering.
Yeah, that's enormously staggering.
To put in a bit of a perspective, that's enough electricity to continually power 100 to 200,000 homes.
You know, but doesn't that make sense, right? I mean, it's funny when we think of that, because that is huge, and you think about that enormous power draw and the impact on that, but when you put it in perspective and think, you know, sort of net output, you know, on society per sort of kilowatt hour used, you have to look at that and go, that's some electricity well spent, right? I mean,
It may well be when you think about it. How much time did it take to discover stuff in the old-fashioned way when you used to drive around until you saw the store you were interested in?
Mm-hmm.
Or you had to drive to, say, the library to get information? Hell, I remember a time, this is how old I am, I remember a time, kids, when we used to have to go to the library to look up phone numbers in other cities.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. Or pick up the newspaper there. I mean, that was back in the same day when you'd walk over to that phone and you'd dial it. Little sparks going on inside that phone to make that call. Go call the library to find out if it was worth driving down to it. Yeah, I hear exactly what you're saying. So let's view that as a good as an environmental use of electricity then.
Well, they will be. They in fact, I mean, Google And Google, don't forget, Google is much bigger than just search. Google is also YouTube. Google is Gmail. Google is Google Docs. It's a whole slew of different products.
Yeah.
So that 260 million figure is powering a hell of a lot of stuff. As a matter of fact, the search component, they've actually broke this down into little component pieces. An average search, so every time that Brasco Googles midget porn or something, that uses 0.3 watt hours of electricity. So a teeny amount of electricity. But if you combine that for more than a billion searches a day, you're looking at 12.5 million watts of electricity used a day just for searches. And again, I'm a numbers geek. I love stuff like this.
Yeah, I can sure tell. And I am surprised. I mean, you know what? Brasco is usually on those sound effects, but when you gave his search example, I didn't hear anything. So apparently, he didn't have one for that one.
It requires having free hands to touch the board, right?
All right, we're picking up Brasco. Is this because he sided with me on net neutrality? Is that why you're picking up Brasco today?
And now, you know, I'm just trying to see if they're listening in the studio or not.
He sure will be later when he goes, oh God, the podcast.
Well, what actually happened was Brasco asked me to take over, so he was away from the board for a moment. He'll be right back.
This is Lewis.
Yeah, Brasco had to go take care of something, so I took over for a quick moment.
No.
All right. Well, now I'm going to move us on from this lighthearted little romp of a topic, because we are talking about Google's Draw. And Google's Draw is about to go up a little bit more as they acquired another property.
They acquired Zagat, the restaurant review service. Phenomenal.
What do you think?
Well, first off, I want to know the actual meat of the details. There's no dollar figure announced as of yet. We know that Tim and Nina Zagat, the founders of the Zagat Survey, are staying on as advisors to their company, so they're going to become Googlers. I think this is, again, a phenomenal purchase for Google and a huge shot across the bow to Apple, to Oracle, and to others getting into the mobile space. It's a huge shot across the bow to Microsoft, and imagine how the review sites like Yelp must feel. We know that Google is basing a lot of its local results on citations and reviews. You got to claim your Google Places listing, but then how that listing actually ranks out? Well, the way to optimize that is through placement and reviews and providing the most concise information you possibly can about the business. Now that Google has its own review site. Well, who knows? Who knows how this is going to go, how they're going to use information provided to Zagat, how they're going to promote Zagat. But, it could be a sign of Google further moving down the road to becoming a content company as opposed to the media company, as opposed to the search company.
Well, you know what, I mean, you bring up an interesting, and we've seen it, I mean, right from, you know, we've had discussions about Google, crawling the comments and posts into Google Plus and things like that, so we can see that definitely they're trying to pull content. I mean, heck, the Panda update was about exactly the subject, right? What I find really, well, there's a number of things that I find really curious about this, and I mean curious in an interesting way, not in a this was a bad idea kind of way. But I mean, looking at this purchase itself and some of the more recent purchases and what we see coming down the road past that, I find it really interesting to know, excuse me, the direction that this really further sort of stamps that they're heading. That they're heading down. And we know, I mean, one can gather. I guess we don't know because Google sometimes does some odd things, but we can gather that this isn't going to be Zagat anymore, right? I mean, this is just my, you know, sort of quasi prediction. It may still exist at Zagat.com. But we know that they're going to tie this into Google profiles, right? I mean, that's what they do. And then we have to remember, I mean, you'd noted that they're a content provider, and at its core, You and I know this, and I'm sure most of our listeners know this, but I'll repeat it anyway. They're not a search engine. They're not even a content provider. They're an advertising company, right? I mean, that's at its core what they are. Fair enough. That's exactly what they're a corporation. This is about revenue. And so trying to think, gee, how are they going to use this to further improve their revenue streams, right? I mean, this, you wouldn't go if you were Google and buy Zagat because you're like, hey, in those organic listings, when the map appears, we want to make sure that this works better, right? And that we can provide better free stuff. Certainly there's an element of that because the better they are, the more they're going to get used, the more ads are going to get displayed. But at its core, that's not where their money's made. So how are they going to take this? How does this purchase equate into them making more money off advertising? That's really what the big question is that we have to ask ourselves is how do these two things translate over? My guess would be it's actually a way to get more businesses and more reviewers into Google profiles, like setting up their Google profiles, be it Google Plus or whatnot, and sort of further forcing people down that funnel.
Absolutely. I do want to take a poke at something you just said. Google does make money off of its organic listings, although it's in a very roundabout way. Google, you're absolutely right. Google's an ad company. It serves, it creates space or finds space to serve up advertising. That's how it makes over 95% of its profits.
Mm-hmm.
The organic search, and don't forget, everything's moving towards personalization, which, you know, has ties to localization and mobile search. And it's all about organic search for Google is all about two things. One, it's a loss leader that providing an ample amount of real estate to place contextually delivered ads. But two, it's an information pipeline. If you've got a Google profile set up, hell, if you've just got a Google account set up, your Gmail account, your AdWords account, your Webmaster Tools or Google Analytics account, and let's face it, they're all the same account.
Mm-hmm.
Google's acquiring tremendous amounts of information about you as an individual. Now, whether they can say this is all about Dave Davies or not, that's another question. I mean, certainly with mobile, they'll be able to do that. With web search, they can say this is all about this IP address and this MAC address on this IP address. But they're gathering a huge amount of information about that MAC address on this IP address and the users of that computer. And so I see organic search as an information pipeline. We will deliver organic result sets and paid advertising result sets based on your profile.
You're right. I mean, that's a very valid point, is that they I mean, and that's obviously something they are doing, is cross-comparing what they've got. And then to take that one step further is the more of these things that they have access to, the more data they collect, but more than just more data, they have more places to put their ads. I mean, that's...
Absolutely. And the reason I mention that is I want... You know, we were guests on a taped radio show, SEO Dojo's radio show, yesterday. It's going to be airing next Monday. And one of the questions that, you know, really got me that I think I think it was Terry who asked, but it could have been David who asked, that really got me thinking about our show is, you know, what kind of actionable information do we give to listeners? And the reason I want to take a poke at the statement about Google's organic search is SEOs, you got to think about this. When you think about Google and any initiative Google's doing, all roads lead to Rome. Like, Google's got a big-ass integrated strategy. So, why did it buy Zagat? Well, all roads lead back to Rome. And what's Google's main focus right now? The mobile space. And, you know, facilitating strong search result sets based on location and personalization. So that's where the organic space is going. And actually, have you seen the new local listings being shown in the United States?
No, I haven't. Well, I mean, not short of, if we're talking about something different than, say, I would have seen, down in San Francisco, then no.
Yes, in fact, we are. Google, in some parts of the states, as of yesterday, has changed the way it's displaying local results, where, you know, it used to be that you'd get a couple general results above the whole list of local results, and then a whole slew of general results underneath.
Mm-hmm.
Those two or three general results above the local results have now been pushed lower. So it's all local up top, depending on the type of search that you do.
Now, do you see these two things as tied together then? I mean, when they know they're purchasing services like Zagat, where they'll be pulling more, let's say, accurate information regarding ratings?
No. I mean, I think Google knew that this acquisition is not a day in the making. So I think Google has known it wanted to purchase something like Zagat. I mean, that it purchased Zagat is amazing. Amazing for Google. But I know that it wanted to purchase AReview. It knew it wanted to purchase AReview sites. So I think some of the experimentation we might have seen over the last 6 months may have been informed by the idea that they're going to be bringing in their own review services or getting into that market. Much like, you remember when, I think it was 4 years ago, Google announced that you could just type in the flight number of an airplane. And all the immediately important flight data would come up. Is the plane on time? What terminal is it at? Etc. I suggest around that time, Google knew it wanted to get into the travel business and started experimenting. Yes, it wants to provide better search results, and these are the types of things that search users tend to search on most frequently, so we'll work on those sections. But, you know, whenever you see any experiments in the way search results are presented, well, I mean, think of the brain trust down in Mountain View and how you've read the stories of Marissa Meyer obsessing on Google style, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where everything had to be just perfect. Can you imagine sitting in one of their work plan groups, one of their design groups, with Marissa Meyer in front of you and saying, Marissa, you know, I think it would be a really good idea if we messed around with the way we display local search results. You better have a damn good reason for saying something like that. There better be a revenue model attached to that. Or she will, she will crush you, because that's her job.
Well, it is. I mean, you know what? While I can happily willy-nilly on my own site and, you know, go, hey, I'm just going to, you know, whatever, test this and run Website Optimizer on it and, you know, see what services page, you know, works better or whatever. You know, you hit a property like Google or, you know, any of these types of properties that are just so well branded and I know exactly what I'm going to see when I get there. You do something wrong and that can be catastrophic. Of sorts. You know, we were talking numbers earlier when we were talking the amount of power used. And, you know, if I took a hit of, say, 1% on conversions on my site, would I really notice? But Google loses 1%, and we're talking about millions now. And that's sizable. And then, of course, you've got to protect it, because who's going to get those millions? The exact people you're competing against.
Yahoo, we'll get to them in a sec.
As we talked about yesterday, we do like to pick on Yahoo.
Yeah, it's to pick on itself. We just report the news.
and chuckle.
We tried. But I don't want to go there yet. I want to finish this one point. And this is why, if Google's going to mess around with its search engine result pages, you know, the terror of having to present in front of a group of brainiacs who are going to rip it apart. Yeah, if you see the local search results changed around a little bit, even just for a couple of days, and it's as an experiment, you know that Google is thinking about doing something, about moving a certain direction. That is some of the most sacred real estate on the web.
So now, we did talk yesterday. We talked about action items. What would be your takeaway then? If you had to give somebody advice based on some of these recent acquisitions and stuff, what the most recent acquisition, what would be your takeaway for SEOs and business owners?
Well, one takeaway, and I know they're listening, so I'm going to speak directly to a client I'm working with. If I was making a local search analytics tool, I'd be on the phone with the guys at Zagat immediately, trying to work a way to trying to get an API, trying to get their information into my system like now.
Mm-hmm.
If I was an SEO working with local businesses, I'd start promoting. Local restaurants especially, I'd start promoting having reviews put into Zagat. Even if that, was, going to the point of writing some of the reviews. Reviews and citations, get them in there. If you're an SEO, go to that restaurant, eat their food, write an honest, probably complimentary review. Get all your staff to do it. Threaten to fire them if they don't. That sort of thing. Actionable items, you're fired.
I do like that. An honest, complimentary review. Truth in radio right there.
Absolutely. Okay. And on that, we have to get to the real truth of radio. Gotta take a 2 to maybe 3 minute break here so that our advertisers can tell you the truth. And we'll be back to talk about Yahoo. So we'll be back to talk about truth and stuff after these messages.
Sit tight and don't move. Webcology. We'll be back after this short break.
As you know, being an expert at
What did she say?
Requires lots of practice and a great tool. Think you could use some help with
Whoa!
You're not alone. Hundreds have used our tool to take their performance to the next level.
The language!
Of course, we're talking about managing Facebook ads on Acquisio.
Oh.
Buy, track, manage, optimize, and report on media across all major ad networks. Visit Acquisio.com to get a demo today. Acquisio. Search, social, display, one platform.
MySEOTool.com is your all-in-one SEO management resource. MySEOTool.com makes it easy to optimize and oversee all of your SEO efforts. Line-by-line detailed reports help you identify any problems and show you how to fix them. MySEOTool.com is completely automated. Once you use it, you will see a rise in your search rankings and traffic. Try My SEO Tool risk-free today. Go to MySEOTool.com. MySEOTool.com.
Looking for an affiliate network that can package every solution an advertiser or publisher needs in one account? Your one-stop source for full-server solutions is AdMedia.com. AdMedia delivers an incredible lineup of specialized XML feeds for local, social, and search, plus the advertising arsenal of PPC, SEM, contextual, display, and more. AdMedia gives your campaign real visibility, from emailers to domain redirects. AdMedia tailors your all-in-one campaign to give your account a real advantage. AdMedia.com delivers cost-effective ad solutions with real conversions. Learn everything AdMedia can do for you today. Sign up at AdMedia.com. AdMedia, strong ROI made simple.
Your virtual webmaster frat house.
Webmasterradio.fm. Hey, bring your togas.
Webmasterradio.fm.
Thanks for listening. Webmasterradio.fm. We're everywhere.
Commercials off. Now back to Webcology, only on WebmasterRadio.fm.
Here are the hosts, Jim Hedger and Dave Davies.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Webcology here on WebmasterRadio.fm. It's Thursday, September the 8th, somewhere about 25 past the hour. And, it's about 25 past the hour for Carol Bartz. Actually, it's about 59 minutes past the hour for Carol Bartz, now former CEO of Yahoo. She was summarily dismissed early yesterday, apparently by cell phone. And, Carol's out. Yahoo is rudderless again. Well, actually, it's not. It's not entirely rudderless. Oh my goodness, my notes don't have their acting CEO here.
Oh, geez, and I knew this yesterday, too. That's hilarious.
Bloody well doesn't matter, does it? He's not going to be... His name is Tim. He won't be around for long. Okay, first off...
He'd be scared to answer his phone.
Yahoo CEO guy, duck. They're after you already. So, Carol Bartz got canned. Barely a year after, maybe it's a year and a half after taking the position of CEO of Yahoo, her friend, her supporter, chairman of Yahoo, Roy Bostock, calls her up. Apparently they're on airplanes going different directions. Calls her up on the phone and cans her. Now, Carol Bartz has been known to be kind of like a firebrand. She doesn't screw around when she's pissed off. She just sort of shoots from the hip, and whatever she hits gets hit. And as quoted in TechCrunch today, she makes it clear how she felt, saying the board was so spooked by being cast as the worst board in the country. Now they're trying to show they're not the doofuses that they really are. End quote.
Wow. Yeah, that's quite the statement. I mean, I'm shocked that it wasn't your friend of mine, Terry, who was listing that with just the straight out there kind of unfiltered nature of that statement.
Well, I mean, like, okay, I'm going to try to keep calm. I'm going to try to breathe. Lord, how does the serenity prayer go again? Something that ends with, God, I'm the hell out of here. Okay. Whew. I needed that. Okay.
Half a serenity prayer anyway.
Oh, I'm working on it, Dave. It's just, I just don't know where to begin with these guys. Okay. Yahoo was trading at $33 a share in October of 2007. That was around the time that Jerry Yang got back in the seat of CEO. Today, Yahoo is trading below $13.50 a share.
Yep. Now, and we all remember the buyout that we all mocked very dramatically at the time.
They were offered $37 a share. You know what the one constant in all of this is? They've gone through four CEOs. They made that incredible deal for Microsoft with Microsoft. Their North American properties are consistently losing value, and their Asian holdings, which make up the bulk of the value of the company right now, are feeling more and more distant by the day. The one consistency in this whole tragic comedy that is Yahoo is the board of directors. You know who I'd be looking at if I was like Yahoo shareholders right now with like a pitchfork in my hands? I wouldn't be looking at the CEO. I wouldn't be looking at the extraordinary, and what's left of the extraordinary talent pool we called the Yahooligans. I'd be looking straight at the board of directors. I'd be looking at Mr. Bostock. And, you know, I wouldn't even bother asking if they had a plan, because clearly they don't. Fire the board. Start from ground zero, or break the company up into component pieces and sell it off. I hate to say it, but I just don't. Where is their future? Dave, do you see any clear path for these guys? For Yahoo?
No. I'm sort of viewing them a bit more, and it's because it's one tragedy after another for them, and sort of one problem after another. What I find kind of ironic, whenever we're talking about Yahoo and we trash them, we don't trash them. You called it. We report what they're doing. It just happens to trash them in the process because they keep making one stupid decision after another. I mean, the thing is if we actually look, they're a massive property, right? You know this. I know this. And if we look at them as just a value of a company, oh, yeah, they've just absolutely dropped in their value. But they're still huge, right? So could they recover from where they are right now? You know, not going the path they are. And I think that's what it probably frustrates you. I know it frustrates me to watch such a massive entity just sort of disintegrate. And while I find it really fun because it's great news, and I mean, you know how much I loved when, in sort of a dark way, when Microsoft made the offers and then they declined it, and then all of a sudden, you know, it really hit the fan, and, you know, I had to go, okay, I do kind of find this kind of funny because I knew it at the time that this was a really stupid decision on their part to decline. Yeah. That kind of offer, but you do sort of watch them disintegrate. And I think you hit the nail on the head is look for the consistency. You're firing through executives like there's no tomorrow. When in reality, it can't be that you, I mean, maybe it is that you're just really, really horrible at hiring these people. But if you are, you still need to look at the people who are making that decision. So whether it's actually the board or whether it's actually the executives or whatnot, well, if the board's making those decisions, then the board is making consistently bad decisions, or it's not actually the people that are being hired on. It's the board itself, as you called it. So some change needs to happen over there. Do I think they should just call it a day and split into sort of their component parts and sell it off? I mean, at this stage, if they're going to keep going down the path they are, do it now, right? Like just call it a day. And break it up, take the money that you can out of it. You know, I know a lot of you are going to take some massive hits, but just get it done before you're at $4 a share, right?
What I'm thinking is the company is now more valuable in pieces than it is as an entity. Mm-hmm. So Yahoo's board's job is to get a fair return for the shareholders. Now, charitably, there's a lot of stuff that's out that Yahoo has zero control over, for the most part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yahoo can't control Google, and it certainly can't control Google's display ad division, DoubleClick. Yahoo can't control the rise of Facebook, which is now the second largest display network in the world. Facebook has surpassed Yahoo in display revenues this year. I want to take a step back to remind listeners that display was seen as Yahoo's saving grace. But they're losing ground in the display market too. And now that we know that the energy in internet advertising is moving towards mobile and personal devices, iPads, tablet computing, etc., that display market is up in the air, and Yahoo is ill-equipped to make a grab at it. I want to see a future here badly. Maybe, you know what? Maybe Yahoo and RIM could get it together. At least Yahoo will have a twin. Maybe RIM is like in a weird parallel universe, the actual offspring of Yahoo somehow, because it's seems to make the same kind of bumbly mistakes that Yahoo does. We know that RIM needs a buyer and Yahoo needs a partner. Maybe Yahoo needs a buyer and RIM needs a partner. Either way, it's just so maddening. So yeah, but I think Yahoo's ad platform, which is now, of course, in the service of Microsoft, that's a robust little PPC platform. It's mm-hmm. probably the second best in the world.
Right. Well, but you know what? I mean, you know this, and I know this. You're not going to gain market share by being the second best.
Well,
that's,
no.
That's their problem. They can create. I mean, you and I remember when we were sitting down talking with Bing. Now, in their defense, this was like 2 days after their launch as an official engine, and you know, we'd all had a chance to look at it. One of their reps had mentioned it's incredibly difficult to make this thing. And then they face sort of the same sort of problem, which I understand. I understand that search engines are incredibly, incredibly difficult to build. I mean, I wouldn't even pretend to start to know how or get into how to build something that complex and you know, that innovative. But at the end of the day, they face the same problem that Yahoo is now. Now they're doing a better job of it, in my opinion. But you face that problem of, but if you're just always second best, there's always a first choice. And Google's got it down, is when you're second best and the thing that's first best is free.
Oh, yeah.
How do you possibly compete with something better than you that's free? And I think that's really, really the problem. And you can get into the situation of asking, gee, do they need these executive changes or whatnot? Is this a technology thing? How should they break up? At the end of the day, it all comes down to market share. And so one has to ask, how do they repair that? And that is their biggest problem. We had it with sort of the MySpace deal that we were talking about a couple months ago, where the thing that needed to change there wasn't so much the technology, it was the focus and the market share, and how do they get that, and how do they bring their users back in there. And I think Yahoo's sort of facing the same issue right now, where, yeah, you can talk about these technologies and we can talk about whether they're worth more to break up. If they want to keep going, though, what they need to do is make decisions to grab more market share. Now, is that improving their products? Is that making them better or faster? Maybe it is. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's just about grabbing more market share. There's an article over on Search Engine Watch that was posted yesterday, and it was based on a tweet that Snoop Dogg had put out. And it's funny, yeah, because it wouldn't be the right decision necessarily, but his tweet that he wants to take over as CEO of Yahoo. And how do you know? I mean, yes, he doesn't have the technical background that maybe required to do this, but he sure knows social media and marketing, as was called in the article. You know, recommended reading for anybody who's there. Pop over to Search Engine Watch and look up the Snoop Dogg article. But it really is an interesting thought of going, okay, but you've got all these brains, like you've got 8 trillion brains behind Yahoo. You've got, like, you know, same could be said for any of these engines. Maybe what you actually need to do right now is just something that's going to attract a market to you, rather than hiring somebody that, yeah, we geeks may know who they are and might be impressed by their history, but the average consumer doesn't, and so they're not going to drive what the average consumer wants. Whereas I don't actually believe that Snoop Dogg would make a fantastic CEO of Yahoo, but he would definitely attract an audience to it, right? He would definitely attract that attention for the first time ever that would actually be good, positive attention. So it's sort of brings up that maybe just a complete shakeup. But what they'll do is they'll hire somebody else that will be just like meet the new boss, same as the old boss. They'll come in, they'll do the same stuff, they'll let them go, they'll bring in somebody else until eventually they're going to sell off, probably, as you called it, their component parts for half what they could have today, which is a third what they could have a couple years ago.
Maddening. You know what? I'm trying to keep serious. I got this big smile on my face because we are talking about Yahoo and I can't help but laugh. You laugh or you scream. But you know what? I honestly, friggin' Snoop Dogg, I'm down with that. I can't see how it could hurt further. I mean, okay, I can see how it could hurt further in a whole bunch of different ways, but, I'd be there. I'd be attracted to his strain of the day.
And so would I. Like, you just couldn't help it, right? I mean, if he ended up being CEO, you know I'd be following it. Like, you just know I would, and so would so many people. And you'd just be going, what's he going to say next?
Will that be interesting enough to make Yahoo products interesting again? And, you know...
Well, and that's the thing. And that's why I go, yeah, I don't actually think he'd make a fantastic CEO, but maybe that is food for thought for them. Yeah, maybe not CEO, and maybe not necessarily him, but maybe it is an idea to actually pull in these personalities like that and go, these are the people that need to define what we're doing, because these are the leaders of sort of the social world, and these are the people who are leading sort of the trends of what's going on. And if you want to be something different than Google, what you need to do is find people that know how to attract specific markets and bring them in.
I got it! Oprah! I mean, her network's failing. Yahoo's network's failing. We know she can attract people, and she's proven a ruthless CEO. So, you know, I think Snoop Dogg is a good second choice now. I'm down with Oprah.
Right. Maybe put him in charge of the entertainment division.
Indeed. Indeed. And on that, Dave, we're rounding the corner. We got to take our second break here on Webcology, heard only on Webmaster Radio or on one of the fine podcast distribution centers like iTunes or iTunes Radio. But this is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media. On behalf of Dave Davies from Beanstalk SEO, you're listening to Webcology. Stay tuned. Back after these messages.
Sit tight and don't move. Webcology. We'll be back after this short break.
Oh, yeah. My day is done. Time for happy hour.
You're already done for the day?
Yeah, because I use CertifiedKnowledge.org. Their PPC tools literally save me hours every day.
How do you keep on top of all of Google's new features?
Easy. With Certified Knowledge, their interactive learning modules keep me up to date. And if there's something I don't know, I can watch their video lessons without having to hunt around the Google help files.
Great. I'm ready to expand my knowledge.
Hi, I'm Brett Geddes. I'm the only leader officially supported by Google to teach the advanced track of the AdWords Seminars for Success. I personally recommend CertifiedKnowledge.org as your one-stop shop for all your PPC needs.
Learn, optimize, connect. Be smart. Go to CertifiedKnowledge.org now.
Hey, this is Danny Sullivan to talk to you about Bruce Clay Incorporated. They've made Inc. Magazine's list of growing private businesses and have exhibited and sponsored at my conferences since the very beginning. You've seen their search engine relationship chart or you've read their SEO code of ethics, so you know they're SEO experts. But did you know they can help you with PPC, web analytics, web design, marketing strategy, promotion, and branding? Yep, get everything you need for success in the online marketplace. You can check it out from the professionals at Bruce Clay Incorporated. For over 10 years with offices worldwide, they've got the answers you need. Check them out today. Today at BruceClay.com.
WebmasterRadio.fm. Keep your headphones handy and the feed loaded. We never stop. Do you?
All celebrity voices are impersonated. Example number 74 of dialogue. You will never read in our chat room.
I have an affiliate offer for you. I want to interest you in pineapples.
You want me to sell pineapples?
Actually, I'll have some apple pie a la mode. It pleases me. Or maybe cobbler.
Goodbye.
Make deals and make money with people like you without the spam.
I don't like being kicked out. You make me feel ignored.
Goodbye.
The WebmasterRadio.fm chat room, live in real time every day. Click on the chat tab from our homepage.
Commercials off. Now back to Webcology, only on WebmasterRadio.fm.
Here are the hosts, Jim Hedger and Dave Davies.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Webcology here on WebmasterRadio.fm. It is Thursday, September the 8th. We're rounding out the hour. We got about 10 minutes left. And got a couple topics we want to touch on. First being a few stats about Twitter. And Dave just put in a note. He's got something on Facebook he wants to talk about. But before we jump to the Facebook thing, from the technology blog at MSNBC, here's just a couple stats on Twitter. 50 million active users of Twitter every day. 200 million registered users. 55% of Twitter's active users use their cell phone to access Twitter. Now that's interesting. Over half of Twitter users are tweeting on their cell phones. More than 400 monthly unique visits to Twitter.com, up from 250 million in January of this year. But 40% of that 200 million registered users aren't using Twitter. So, amazing growth, great numbers, growth of 150 million unique visitors a month over the last 9 months, and a abandonment rate of about 40%.
Mm-hmm.
I just find that very interesting. Again, I'm a numbers geek today. I don't know what it is, but we see this technology growing, going into the space that everyone covets so dearly, mobile. And I think Twitter is much more aligned with mobile computing than, say, Facebook or even Google Plus is. Yet still, it's a company that doesn't know how to make money. It's a company where, I mean, I know that we as marketers are using it extensively, and we have Clout Score to talk about our own effectiveness. But no, I have yet to find anyone who's able to prove value of a Twitter campaign. I'm not entirely confused about Twitter, although I am a little confused when trying to explain it to clients. What do you say, Dave?
We sort of got two subjects to go down, but first one I'll touch on here is the statistics, and one of them that I really really liked seeing that made it really interesting for me was the third one in your points of the 55% using their cell phones to access Twitter. Now the thing that I found really interesting about that wasn't just the prevalence of mobile, because of course these same users, I mean this is 55% do use their cell phones. I do, but it's not my primary source of this data, right? I also use it on my computer, and that's my primary source. But yeah, I use, you know, TweetDeck on my iPhone and check it out from there. But the thing that I really liked about seeing that, pardon me?
I just want to point out, you live on your computer.
Yes, like, I do. I'm pretty much tethered to it most of the time, and then I'm in the, you know, car, and if I'm not driving, I'm on TweetDeck, and that's kind
on
of
your phone, no doubt.
Sad world I live in. Exactly. But the thing that I found really, really neat about that statistic or that really hit it for me was this is real active. Like when I'm thinking of a cell phone, this is I'm purposely going in and get there's no I just have it, you know, sort of sitting up in the background on my machine, or you know, it comes up automatically in my tabs on Firefox, and you know, sort of sits there and I kind of half look at it every now and then. No, 55% of these people are actively on generally slower connections, purposely going there and engaging. And to me, that actually is a really, really positive reflection on their data of active users, because these active users could otherwise be sort of, pardon the French, but sort of half-ass users, right? Where it just kind of is there and they might look at it for 5 seconds. I mean, this would count as an active user. But for so many of these people to be engaging on their mobile devices, A, talks about the prevalence of mobile. But more importantly, I think in the context of Twitter, is discusses how important Twitter has become among this vast number of people that are their active monthly users. And that's what really impressed me about this, that it's more a reflection to me of how important Twitter actually is as a communications tool, that we don't just use it for business. We don't just use it while we're at our computers. We actually need to take this with us to tweet with people. So I found that probably the most interesting thing of the statistics that had come out in that. And something I did find interesting as well was the last one that you'd mentioned, is the 40% of monthly active users that don't tweet. Now, I mean, they may be, you know, quasi-passive users that just stay logged in or whatnot, but what this means to me is that we've got this significant segment that are actually reading it. So as a marketing tool, what this tells me is it actually may have more power than we may say. People are actually reading it. What a crazy notion that people are actually using this to interact, which is a big question.
But if they took an action to react to what they were reading, for instance, clicking on a link, they would leave that group. They wouldn't be considered part of that 40% anymore because they'd be active again. They may be reading it, but what are they doing with it?
Now, what it had said, the statistic is do not tweet, right, is the monthly active users who do not tweet is that 40%. So clicking the link is making them active, but that so many of them aren't actually tweeting, but they're actually using this as an information source as opposed to, you know, a communication tool. Because that is a big concern, especially with so many marketers in there. Yeah, I'm not going to claim to not be one, right? I mean, I'm a marketer as well. And this idea that, are we just shouting into the dark, right? Are we just, you know, putting this out there, and, you know, you got 2,000 followers or whatever, what percentage of that is actually reading it? And it is interesting to know that so many people are actually there using Twitter as more an information source as opposed to. And I mean, these numbers into the double-digit millions, right, of people that are actually just using Twitter to find information and to watch what's going on.
Remember when you and I worked in the same office and we would actually have these, like, minutitude debates over, you know, getting a 1% advantage over our competitors?
Mm-hmm.
This is back in the days when you could actually quantify SEO in numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we messed around with keyword densities, and I would obsess about that 0.10% keyword density because I thought that would give us that little advantage over a competitor. Now, I've been looking through the analytics for three different clients, each of whom were running my company's running Twitter campaigns for. And I see about I'm fudging my numbers here, but I'm going to say on average 1% of the traffic driven to client sites on average for me is coming from Twitter now.
Okay.
What price those visitors? You can price out those visitors. The cost of acquisition and the target cost of acquisition per site visitor. You know, how much does a Twitter campaign cost to run in person hours? And how much is it really paying off in driving traffic?
Well, you know, there is that angle, and I mean, that's one that we have to ask. And the thing is, and you do it, and I do it, and I'll bet a lot of marketers, especially ones who were predominantly SEOs, who then went in and you know, we all have Twitter campaigns, and we all use Twitter and stuff like that, where you talked about it working so hard for that fraction of a percent. And do we, and for me, quite honestly, the answer is no. Do we put that same focus and energy into going, and how can I tweak Twitter just 1%? How do I reword the way I word things, or how do I find specific followers? Do we put that same energy that we put into figuring out ranking formulas on the organic side? No, we don't. I mean, I'm sure there are people who do, but the vast majority of us don't. And I'm going to include myself in there. I don't spend the same attention trying to tweak my click-through rates and rework my ads. I went through 13 different titles over a span of about 2 months to tweak our homepage for click-through rates. Do I put that same attention into my tweets to see which one is going to get a higher click-through rate? No, I don't. And I'll be quite honest there. I don't do that. It's probably a good idea. So the metrics get a little weird in that one, because we're not putting in the same energy, I think, into the conversion optimization of our Twitter campaigns as we do it. And you may be an exception. I don't know. But on mass.
I'm not. I think about it. I got to advise clients on it. Hey, folks, I want you to spend your money this way. But, you know, I have to justify my recommendations, especially to the clients that I have who are, like, long-term clients. Well, you know, you remember back in March when I said that we really got to get a Twitter campaign going, and you went and hired that third-party firm? Well, here's what it's got us. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, there is that. I mean, you know, all of us have to justify these things. And then there's a secondary. I mean, one of the things that I think you can make a good argument for, and I can do a lot of my clients have this, where it's also a brand, right? I mean, it's not not just your tweets themselves, but good chance if you're using it right, your Twitter page is ranking for your name. Well, good, because then if there's something bad comes up, it's one position lower. Right, so there is also that reputation management side, I think, that is often overlooked when we're looking at having a good, strong social media presence.
Okay, we're into our last couple of minutes. You skipped over the link to a story in the new revamped Search Engine Journal, looking good, SEJ. Written by David Angelotti. Hope I got your name right, David. Facebook, the 80 billion company with earnings less than $1 per user. Really?
Yeah, I mean, isn't that an interesting thing, eh? And to me, this story more, and we've talked about this before, just it hits me as this, how do we possibly value things? and we talked about that on a little bit on the radio or yesterday, and that'll air over on Monday. But how do we possibly put price tags on things like Facebook to be as high as they are? So we're putting, you know, a sort of a dollar per user kind of thing, or that's the value that they're getting out of them. They have, well, reportedly this year, $1.6 billion in revenue, and they earned $500,000 out of that. So what I mean, the story to me when I'm looking at that is, how are we possibly valuing them in anything close to the double digit billions with revenue like that? Like if GM in their manufacturing plants was reporting, you know, we made $1.6 billion in revenue and we made $500,000, would they be worth, as a manufacturer, $80 billion? No. Like how we even pull this data, I have, or how I guess Wall Street even decides that this is what these companies should be worth. That's, to me, that's the story, and it's kind of frustrating to me. And I know that it shouldn't be, and fantastic for Facebook, but I just kind of shake my head and go, there's something kind of inherently wrong in that.
Well, there is, and tonight I'm going to party like it's 1999. it certainly feels like that some days, doesn't it, when we see these...
It really does. It really does, and it started, you know, in our discussions about Groupon when they turned down the deal from Google. How do we value these things at what they are? But there we are. I know we're almost out of time, and you and I could talk about the valuation things. And hey, maybe one of these days we'll get to pull somebody in from Wall Street, and he can answer these questions for us.
You know what? We should pull somebody in from Groupon and from Facebook, and even from Yahoo, and have them answer these things.
Yeah, but I'll bet if they listen to our show, they won't. They'll be like, we know what you're going to say.
Who are we going to alienate next week, eh? Okay, that's it. We're about to get the music hook. So Dave, on behalf Dave Davies from Beanstalk SEO, this was a fun show. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you very much, as always.
And again, on behalf of Dave Davies from Beanstalk SEO, this is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media. You've been listening to Webcology on WebmasterRadio.fm. We're being followed by another episode of SEM Synergy with Bruce and Virginia and Susan. So friends, stay tuned. Great radio coming up on the network, and we'll talk to you next week.